Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, September 19th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission says it has fully taken over the country's controversial voters' roll.
We are fully in charge of the voters' roll. We have been since the by-elections that started after the general elections of 2018. The voters' roll is ours, and any faults on it are exposed. But we do not believe that there are any faults in the voters' roll.
Scores of Masvingo residents have cut the number of meals per day due to lack of income.
We can't afford having 3 or 4 meals per day. We delay taking our tea, then we have supper.
And tonight in the Women's Forum, we are speaking to a Mandela Washington alumni who has been hosting the show. The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, or ZEC, says it has fully taken over the country's controversial voters' roll. ZEC chairperson Rita Makarau says the voters' roll is almost clean now, though this is being contested by the Zimbabwe Election Support Network and other non-governmental organizations. Makarau speaks to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about this and related issues.
We are fully in charge of the voters' roll. We have been since the by-elections that started after the general elections of 2018. The voters' roll is ours, and any faults on it are exposed. But we do not believe that there are any faults in the voters' roll, because we have been carrying out voter registration before each by-election, and we have been inviting people to come forward to inspect the voters' roll before each by-election.
But recently, the Zimbabwe Election Support Network was saying that there's still more that needs to be done on the voters' roll. Do you agree?
Well, I wouldn't know what specifically they would want us to improve upon, but they are a key stakeholder, and we are always engaging key stakeholders to tell us what it is that we need to improve. Maybe I could invite them to visit to go and observe elections in Marondera, and immediately after that, maybe they can then come back to us and make suggestions on what else it is we need to do to improve on the integrity of the voters' roll.
That was ZEC chairperson Rita Makarau speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Contesting parties have over the years complained that the voters' roll has a lot of names of dead Zimbabweans. Solomon Makaza, who contested parliamentary by-elections under Transform Zimbabwe, says they have no complaints against ZEC.
Electoral Commission, I think it's okay. We have no problem with the Electoral Commission.
What do you mean exactly?
We mean the problem is on the ground. You are being present, yes. The commission is okay.
And, you know, we were talking to the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Justice Rita Makarau, who are saying they haven't even received a report from some opposition parties complaining about some of the issues that you're talking about. So at the end of the day, people will say, oh, Mr. Makaza is saying some bit of fiction here. Can you justify what you're saying?
Rita Makarau will be not in the ground, and that situation, it only happens when you go out for campaign. That's the problem. It's always. I think for the ruling party, it's obvious. They do that one. But it will be said.
So now, what stops you from reporting certain incidents to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission?
Some of the things we can report, but those reports, they won't be taken. They say go to the police. And the police, the police itself.
What is wrong with the police?
The police will say, no. We'll go there, talk to those people who are arrested, but they won't arrest.
So now, what is the way forward in terms of future elections, Mr. Makaza, regarding some of these issues?
I think the next election, we are going to make sure everything is reported, and the role was not built in one day, my friend.
That was Solomon Makaza of Transform Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7 from Marondera. Scores of Masvingo residents are struggling to make ends meet and have cut down the number of meals a day due to lack of income to buy food, as a family of six living in an urban area now needs about $500 per month. Our correspondent Kandri Maramba reports.
Some residents say they have since cut their meals from 3 to 2 a day due to lack of money. One of the affected people is Endurance Takaeza of Majanga Heights in Sebab, who says they are living from hand to mouth.
It's difficult to survive in town.
because the cost of living is high. We can't afford having 3 or 4 meals per day. We delay taking our tea, then we have supper. Just because we can't afford it, there's no electricity, there's shortage of electricity. We have to buy firewood. We have to send our children to school, but they are being sent home by the heads because of economic hardships. Most people are not employed.
Another resident, Joyce Chiwara, says her family is surviving on less than $2 a day. Chiwara says she used to generate money through selling various goods on the streets of Masvingo, which was blocked by the city council following a directive from government ordering people to stop selling wares without permission from local authorities.
I cannot afford to buy food for more than $2. I can survive for less than $1 a day. This is because our economy is shrinking every day. I can only earn less than $2 per day. I've got bills to pay, water charges, hospital bills, school fees for the children. I cannot afford that because I can only raise $1 a day, and that dollar can only use to buy food.
Most residents say they are failing to get jobs due to the current harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe. Poverty Eradication Forum Trust, or PEFT, a Harare-based non-governmental organization, says it has carried a survey in Masvingo which revealed that 80% of local people cannot afford to buy adequate food for their families. PEFT programs coordinator Tafara Chiremba says urban poverty has reached alarming proportions in most cities and towns.
Poverty is going up. And what we're actually getting is that despite the general stagnation of the basic needs basket, for example, in Masvingo, we are actually getting the basic needs basket around 512. There is a challenge in terms of accessing the income that should be available in a household to make sure that all the basic commodities are available in a family.
Local people say government should find a solution to the country's economic woes before the situation gets out of hand. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, this is Gandri Maramba.
Thanks so much, Gandri Maramba. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
You are now listening to the Women's Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo standing in for Marvelous Mshlanganya Huye. And today we are gladly joined by someone you've had the privilege of listening to over the past few weeks. That is Tato Mochone, who is a Mandela Washington Fellow alum. Tato, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
The audience has been hearing you as you've been taking over the Women's Forum for us the past couple of weeks. How has that experience been?
I have grown so much from that experience, because I got to tackle issues which affect women in Zimbabwe and in Lesotho. And, you know, I got to get in touch with those women.
Now, let's backtrack just a little bit, because I'm sure people have been hearing you on our program, but they're kind of like, but who is this person? You know, where did she come from?
I work on radio in Lesotho. I actually have a 3-hour slot. I am a trained teacher, English language and geography. And we applied for the fellowship. Only 5 people were chosen from Lesotho, 2 females and 3 males. And I was one of those 2 females, and we spent...
And you spent it well.
I did. As a journalist and a woman, all about social justice, empowering women, you know, and human rights advocate, I did. Because I got a chance to tackle issues that affect fellow men.
Mm-hmm. And speaking on some of those issues, you were able to cover a wide ranging. You know, talk about how if there was a difference or a similarity between women in Zimbabwe and women in Lesotho.
The case of Zimbabwe and Lesotho is so similar. It's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at underrepresentation of women in politics, and we found that it is the same thing in Zimbabwe as it is in Lesotho. Women are not well represented when it comes to politics. We were taking a look at the patriarchal order where women are exposed to HIV infection because of the traditional and cultural prescriptions that as a woman, you don't have a say in sexual matters. That is the case in Zimbabwe. That is the same thing in Lesotho.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talk a lot about what is happening, and then there is talk about the solutions. But from your take, what you've been able to see in Lesotho, what you've been able to see what happens in Zimbabwe, which is also similar to a lot of other African countries, are those solutions viable?
They can be. I really think the governments my experience has taught me that people are not at the forefront when it comes to decision making in most parts of Africa. There isn't enough public participation. Decisions are made not on the basis of what the public wants, but on the basis of what the leaders think we want. My experience in the US has taught me that the many decisions that government get to making is because they consulted with the public first, which are the main stakeholders.
Now, talking about your experience here as a Mandela Washington Fellow, of course, there are some things that you will be taking back. But first, let's talk about some things that you brought here.
People have this notion of Africa, that people are not learned,
mm-hmm.
and that, but I think I presented the strong woman of Africa who is not conforming to rules that disrupt human rights.
Mm-hmm.
I represented a woman who has penetrated the wealth which is dominated by men, which is the media. And I represent ambition of mm-hmm. Africa and hope for Africa.
You represent a generation of young Africans, young women especially. You know, as you continue your journey, how do you want to carry yourself?
It was when I was here and when I learned how many people look up to me that I thought, this is so big. It seems small, but it's so big because it really goes down to the levels of what you post on social media. Because there are people that are looking out for you, that are looking up to you. And whatever you post on social media, those people are following.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be relevant. You have to be significant. You have to be bringing something that is productive. So I feel like my job is to be someone that young people would love to emulate.
What do you say to the ordinary person who has been following your experience, as you're saying, who's been saying, okay, wow, Tato is doing amazing things?
I think first and foremost, do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
What kills us the majority of the time is we do things because we're looking for money. But look at it. If you're doing something because you are after money, you're not going to give your all because you don't like it. My last message to everyone in Zimbabwe, I am saying just believe in yourself that you are a person who has something good to give. And determination, I always say, is in the heart, not in the circumstance. We know there's the state of economy right now that is affecting many people in Zimbabwe, and many of them are in the diaspora. But I am saying, amongst you, there are still who are doing well. It is not going to be an easy road. It is not going to be. But give it your all. Give it your all.
Tato Mochone, we'd like to say thank you for joining us on the Women's Forum, and safe travels back home.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Tato Mochone, 2015 Mandela Washington Fellow and also a journalist and a teacher back home in Lesotho, joining us today on the Women's Forum. I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join us next week.
Thanks very much, Tatenda Gumbo. We hope you are going to have a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In September 2000, the 189 United Nations member states of the time and 23 international organizations set a lofty goal to work together in an effort to relieve poverty, hunger, disease, and lack of access to basic education and clean drinking water by 2015. The eight areas targeted for improvement were collectively named the Millennium Development Goals, or MDGs. Many of the goals set 15 years ago have been attained, or nearly so. In this regard, a major achievement of the MDGs has been reducing the number of those living in extreme poverty by 50%. And yet, progress has been uneven, particularly for women and girls. Today, a wide employment gender gap persists. Despite significant advances, especially in primary education, girls are more likely to be out of school than boys at all levels, with the gender gap in school attendance widening at lower secondary education. And at the slow pace women are attaining seats in elected government bodies, it will take nearly 40 years to reach parity in parliaments. On the specific MDGs, progress has been slowest on issues of women's and girls' health and well-being, said Ambassador Richard Erdman, acting U.S. representative to the UN Economic and Social Council. Among all of the MDGs, progress on reducing maternal mortality and providing universal access to reproductive health lags furthest behind. The United States firmly believes that the United Nations 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, which will be adopted in September, must place the needs of women and girls at the center of sustainable development. To fulfill our new 2030 development agenda, we must recognize the vital role that sexual and reproductive health care services play in ensuring healthy lives and eradicating poverty, said Ambassador Erdman. Enlightened policies on sexual and reproductive health and effective programs are a matter of life and death for millions of women and girls around the world. It's clear we need strong global leadership to continue making progress.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tonight we are speaking to Mr. Nkululeko Nkala of Intwasa Festival. Intwasa is a festival of the arts which is held annually in Bulawayo. Mr. Nkala, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
Thank you so much. Tell us a bit about Intwasa this year. What is going on?
This one is our 11th edition of Intwasa, and we are happening for 6 days. Starting from Monday the 21st, and our shutdown is Saturday the 26th. So we are running about six genres, which will be theater, music, dance, literary arts, amongst other things, fashion, and spoken words.
So are there any top artists from outside Zimbabwe?
We've got two poets from the UK. One of them is called Diana. They are coming for both Intwasa and Shoko Festival in Harare. We've got a piece from Botswana. The guy has done stuff in America. I can't say what exactly, but he's been to America doing some theater. They are also coming to Intwasa. But most of the acts are locally.
So give us a rundown. Which local artists are going to grace the occasion this year?
The notable ones will be the likes of Jazz Maravini, Ndolwani Super Sounds, Clement Magwaza. They are the biggest artists locally. And from Harare, we've got Winky D, who's our headline act this year. We've got Africa Revenge. We have been away from the music industry for 9 years as a group. They are coming to Bulawayo. We're calling it the Africa Revenge Homecoming Show. They are part of our opening night. And we've got Tarune Gitari and a group of Harare guys called Acoustic Night. These guys are from a Germany tour. We also have a few theater artists from Harare, Masvingo, and all that.
So what can you say have been the benefits of Intwasa Festival?
For us, I mean, we've always wanted one thing, to be part of a festival that will afford a young artist a platform to showcase their works. It's been the one thing that we've been pushing to say, in as much as we may bring acts from outside, we also want our local Bulawayo boys to be able to access the festival and be able to rub shoulders with most of these so-called big stars. So that at the end of the day, or one day, we get to say, we discovered that artist, or we were there when that artist started.
Who are you going to discover this year, eh?
Well, you can never know until the festival is done. But there is a lot of fresh products that are happening. We've got something that we're calling Idol versus Hip-Hop. Hip-Hop is sort of taking over the music industry, not just in Zimbabwe. You look at South Africa, they now have big stars like Casper Nyovest, but these are guys that are doing something that was never done before. So Hip-Hop is also happening in Zimbabwe. Kwaito is still there. I mean, still influencing us as Bulawayo mostly, like from way back. It's always been like that. But there's also theater as well. You find there's something called the Center for Talent, but for Talent Development. These guys are dramatizing literature set books, and they are using kids to do that. So at the end of the day, we're also discovering the theater artists of tomorrow, amongst other things.
Now, what about the whole family? Do you have any other events that are running concurrently with the Intwasa Festival?
We are running a stage at the City Hall Car Park, which is called the Youth Zone. That stage has got most of these family-friendly events. We also have a few events at our main stage, which is also at the City Hall Car Park. We'll be running a gospel show on the Saturday. We have a few events in the afternoon as well that people can come as a family and still enjoy, like with events with respect to a certain extent.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nkala, for joining us tonight on Studio 7.
Thank you very much for having me, boss.
That was Nkululeko Nkala, the spokesperson for Intwasa Festival, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Now to recap today's top stories. The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission says it has fully taken over the country's controversial voters' roll. and scores of Masingo residents have cut down the number of meals per day due to lack of income. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good